This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
This episode of Nine Lives with Dr. Cat is brought to you by Meow Greens. Get a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to meowgreens.com and use promo code 9Lives.
Hey there, cat lovers. Welcome to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat. I'm your host, Dr. Catherine Prim, and I'm a small animal veterinarian, and of course, I'm a crazy cat lover. This show is a place where we can explore the fascinating worlds of cats and the people who love them, and also learn how to take the best care of them. So today, I have a special guest who's been with us before. Amy Shojai is an award-winning author, a certified animal behavior consultant, and a true advocate for cats. So we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk with Amy about all things cats. We'll be right back. Hey there, cat lovers. It's Dr. Catherine Prim from Nine Lives with Dr. Cat. We all want our cats to be happy and healthy. Well, Meow Greens is a product that you can add to your cat's food. It improves joint health, may even reduce cancer risk. It has enzymes and probiotics and vitamins specially formulated for cats. So they have a 90-day challenge. At 30 days, you're going to see more energy and a shiny coat. By day 60, your cat's going to have a stronger immune system and improved joint health. And at day 90, better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even reduce their cancer risk. Plus, you can get a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to roughgreens.com and use the promo code 9Lives. That's RUFFGreens.com with the promo code 9Lives. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a scoop of Meow Greens.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat on Pet Life Radio. I have a returning guest, Amy Shojai. Hi, Amy.
Well, hello. How are you, Dr. Cat?
I am excellent. I'm so happy to have you back.
Well, happy 2025. We're kicking off the new year right, I think.
I hope so. I think that we're doing our part to take care of cats and make sure that cats have a wonderful, healthy, happy year. So you've got a lot of really, really incredible books, a lot of really, really incredible books that blend science and heart and a deep understanding of cats. Can you start by telling us kind of how you were inspired to begin writing about cats?
Sure. Well, I call myself the accidental writer because I never intended this to happen. I kind of fell into it. After I was married, my husband and I moved to a very small town in eastern Kentucky, and there were no jobs available. There was nothing out there. And a newly minted veterinarian had just moved back to town and opened a clinic and had an opening for an office manager, receptionist, vet tech, you know, whoever he could find. And I'd always loved animals. And I thought, oh, this is a really cool opportunity. And so I applied for the position, and you'll get a kick out of this. During the interview with his wife, we hit it off. It was great. And then she said, well, I guess you need to meet my husband. He's doing surgery. Will that bother you? And I said, I guess I better find out. So she took me back to meet the veterinarian, and he was doing a C-section on a Chihuahua. And during that interview, I learned how to resuscitate these babies as he was handing them out to me. And of course, everybody survived. The puppies, the mama was spayed. Everybody turned out really well. But that was my introduction to hands-on veterinary care, and I learned so much because he was so excited about medicine and wanted to share that with anyone who would listen. And as a part of that, I started being the voice for the pet owners that were coming in, the cat owners, the dog owners, every once in a while, a goat owner or chicken owner or whoever it was that came in. And I was the one that helped translate the medicalese into the everyday language that the rest of us could understand. And there happened to be a small newspaper in the area. And so I also was the one that wrote up some of the stories about that. So I really kind of fell into that and decided at one point I was going to write about these. I'd tell my mother about these stories about, you know, the little cat that had come in and was diagnosed with diabetes and how we had to teach the owner how to give insulin injections. And she said, Amy, you really need to write these stories down. So it's my mom's fault. I started submitting my personal experience stories as a veterinary assistant and later vet tech to what was then the Pet Press at that time. And that was Cat Fancy magazine, Bird Talk magazine, Dog Fancy, Dog World, all of these print magazines at the back in the day. And that's really how my career started, was sharing the experiences that I had with the veterinarians and sharing that information so that other pet lovers and cat owners could benefit from that.
I love it. I love that. So you found your passion in a baby resuscitation.
I love it. Yeah, yes.
So you have a lot of books, and I'm going to put you on the spot here, but do you have specific favorites?
I have favorites in different ways. I think probably, I'm going to get emotional, probably my favorite of all is my first aid book, because it has saved so many pet lives. And I've heard this firsthand from people. I was doing a book signing at a big cat show one time. And it's great fun to do cat shows or dog shows because you have all the furry wonders all around you. And so I had my book set up and somebody was walking by and kind of stopped and did a double take and said, that book. And I said, yes, would you like an autographed copy? And they said, oh, no, we have a copy. Are you the author? You saved my pet's life. And I still get kind of choked up about it because I don't hear very often from that. You know, we writers, we sit alone in our little cubby holes writing for the masses and upload it now these days to the internet, or we publish it on books. We don't always get to see the effect that our words have on people. So that's probably in my nonfiction books, that's probably my favorite. My favorite on the fiction side is the first thriller that I ever published, because I didn't think I would ever be a published fiction author. And I wrote the book that I'd always wanted to read. And as a result of that, expanded my career. And now I have 8 books in that series and counting. And people, again, reaching a new audience of dog lovers and cat lovers who would never pick up a nonfiction book, but they read about the experiences in the fiction, which is all based on real life. So, you know, my main character is an animal behaviorist, and she works with a veterinarian, and she works with these people. So people learn about this. Oh, that's why my cat does that? Oh, I didn't know you could do, you know, such and such, or you could train cats, or, any of those issues. And then I have a fact or fiction section at the very back of the book where I can explain to people and share about the different places you can learn more about cat behavior and cat care. Or I can say, well, you know, this part of the book, I made that up. That's purely fiction and just for fun. But it's based on this science where cats really do have hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, and those symptoms that the little kitty character in the book had, that's for real. So that's probably Lost and Found of the series is probably my favorite, just because it was the first one and it's the one that gave me my fiction writing career.
Well, I would say that that's my favorite part too, because people are always listening and always learning. And I think in today's world, they just get the headlines and they don't always get the facts behind it. And so I really thank you for taking the time to do that.
Well, thank you. I mean, that's become my passion really over the years. And I've written about, you know, on my other clients, written about, you know, how people go to ask questions of Dr. Google instead of, you know, picking up the phone and or stopping in at your veterinarians who have their eyeballs and their hands on your cat this minute. I mean, I get messages all the time through Facebook or text or whatever, because I have a lot of people that read my blogs or whatever, asking me advice. And I have to say, look, I'm not a veterinarian. I don't play one on television or radio or anywhere else. You need your veterinarian's advice. They know best. And if they've done all these tests, ask them for a referral to another specialist. I can only guess. I don't even have a crystal ball to help you here. I can tell you what questions to ask your veterinarian, but I can't diagnose or second guess what your doctor has already said.
Well, thank you for saying that. You know, you mentioned that writers don't always hear a lot of feedback or whatever. And I wonder if it would surprise you to know that veterinarians sometimes don't get a lot of feedback either. So, I know what you mean. When somebody takes the time to write me a note about how I changed their life or how I affected their pet, it really does matter. And I get a lot of people that reach out to me for advice too. So, yeah.
Yeah, it does. It does make a difference. And my mom used to say, you know, you can attract a whole lot more flies with honey than with, well, you can attract flies with bad stuff too. But the point is, a lot of people never think to reach out until it's a complaint. Whereas, why not find times and places to give attaboys? And, you know, we tell people when we are training their new kittens or their new puppies to catch the pet in the act of doing something good and reward the behavior. Humans are no different. You know, authors are no different. Veterinarians are no different. We appreciate getting that attaboy and saying, hey, you know, we appreciate you. You're doing well. There's a reason I go to my veterinarian, and the staff there are outstanding. So when you find somebody like that, you hold them close and you cherish them and you hope to goodness that they're there for you when you need something that's a terrible, awful thing that has happened with your cat, and they can turn things around. And then you are so over the moon, joyous.
Yes, I agree. Well, the other thing that I really, really like about your books is that you celebrate the human-animal bond, which is sort of why you and I both do what we do, because that is so special. Do you have some new things or something new coming that you might want to mention?
Actually, since you mentioned it, as I mentioned earlier, I do have the latest book in the thriller series is called Play or Pay. And it again has the main character helping save the day with her service dog, and also has a cat character that helps thwart the bad guy at a certain point. And that's something that I do with the fiction books, is I have my readers nominate their cats and their dogs to be hero characters in the book. So they get to share all about how they got their cat, and I interweave that in the story. So that's the latest book. It's book number 8, called Play or Pay. But I did something brand new to me right before Christmas. I made a gift book, and it's called Christmas Cat Legend: Why Tabby Wears an M. And this was a story that I discovered years ago when I wrote one of my first nonfiction books, Complete Kitten Care. And I put in the back a bunch of the different legends about cats and how they came to have the certain look that they did. And as we know, many tabby cats have an M on their forehead. And so I created this, I retold the story, and then I illustrated it with gorgeous full-color pictures. And it's only, it's about 30 pages long and very large type, but full-page color pictures all about how the very first tabby cat met the Holy Family in the stable and was able to sing the baby to sleep so his mother Mary could get a little bit of rest. And the gift, the benediction from Jesus' mother was placing her hand on the tabby cat's forehead. And thereafter, an M appears on all tabby cats. And you can still, the very end of the book, let me read the last page. To this day, Christmas nights often find tabby cats staring into the night, purring as they recall a very special child their ancestor once sang to sleep.
I love it. I love it. Yay.
So that came out just before Christmas, and everybody really loved it and appreciated it, and they got it, got copies for themselves. They got copies for their grandchildren, and I'm hoping that people will start a tradition and read that with the cat on their lap Christmas Eve going forward.
I love it. Well, so I love how you weave your knowledge of feline behavior into your stories to make them a little bit more just believable and reachable, and you can tell. Can you speak about maybe what a common misconception about cats might be?
Oh, well, there are a couple that I get a lot. I think the overarching one is that cats are all independent creatures. They can take care of themselves and they don't want to have anything to do with you. And a second one is that cats cannot be trained. And as we all know, both of those things are very false. You know, cats are incredibly affectionate. They're maybe more selective, so they choose their people wisely. They become very attached, not only to their human or their space, their home, but also to the other animals in the household. My karma cat, who is right now asleep in my office chair, was rescued by my German Shepherd. And they were so bonded together that when he died, Karma slept with his collar for a week afterwards, just inconsolate, you know, and Karma has adopted and welcomed the other animals into the house since then. So Karma's the boss and is very bonded and plays with and chases Shadow Pup. He's my Kelpie wannabe. And the new kitten on the block, and she just turned a year old, and they play constantly. Karma is my senior kitty, and he's lost weight. He's much healthier now, but they are all so closely bonded to us. They are all trained to come when called. They don't particularly care to be on leash, but they will walk on leash. My cats understand anything that I say or teach the dog. There's a reason they call it copycat behavior. So if you have a dog that has been taught that he's going to get a treat when he sits on command, oftentimes you will see the ricochet effect and you will see your cat also sitting and expecting a treat. So think about when you are, for listeners who are interested in training their cat, think about what motivates the cat and give them what they want. I mean, just like us, we want to get paid for good work, doing good work, or get an attaboy for doing something that we think is generous and something that is worthy. Cats are no different. So my cats and me do just about anything for treats, and that for them is their motivator. Other cats, it's a feather toy. Some cats, it's attention. Everybody's different. Cats are all unique little creatures, not just in their looks, but in their attitudes and their behaviors and who they like and who they don't like. So give them some space. If they don't like a particular person, there's probably a reason for that. Maybe the person's cologne tickles. You never know. But just be aware that cats are individuals and they are going to give you back what you give to them.
Okay, so sometimes I hear funny stories about cats kind of working in pairs with dogs or other cats to achieve certain goals. Can you tell about anything? Have you ever seen that happen?
Oh, yeah. And it's funny. I just saw a video of somebody who he had taught his dog how to push the button to make the treat dispenser give him treats. And then he put the button up on top of the piano so that the dog couldn't reach it. And he was just going to do the training. And then he came back later and the treat dispenser was completely empty. And so he put a video on and the cat would get on top of the piano and push the treat dispenser over and over and over. The dog ate all of the treats and it was like they were in cahoots. We've had the same thing happen here where the cats are second story creatures so that the dog doesn't get into their stuff and eat their food or any of that. But the cats will get on top of counters or whatever. They will knock things off and then we will see the dog has something he's not supposed to have. And the dog thinks it's great fun because then he gets to play keep away and that's his most favorite game in the world. So yes, they absolutely will do this. I've seen even parrots do this in videos. Parrots that will mock the cat or the dog by mimicking their voice or, you know, saying, here, kitty, kitty, and the cat comes and nobody's there. And then the bird laughs at them. So it's interesting to see the interaction between the animal companions and how much, yes, they do work together. They are very sentient creatures. They know what they're doing. It might be an accident the first time, but boy, seeing that happen and getting a reward for it, whether that's you laughing can be a reward because they want to make you laugh, or yelling and chasing them because, you know, my dog wants to be yelled at and chased. He thinks that's part of the game. So whatever you do that rewards that behavior, it's going to increase the possibility of it happening again and again and again.
So maybe human beings could take a lesson from the animal world where we could all work together.
I wish. Oh, my goodness. And these days where the world is, it just seems like there's so many things that makes our shoulders tighten and we grit our teeth and we don't want to speak about such and such because people will be upset and everything that's going on. We can take a breath and have a cat on our lap and relax for a while and shut out all of that extraneous stuff. You know, my house, I end up with, you know, a dog beside me, a cat on my lap, and the kitten playing on my feet. And that is just one of the best things ever, because then I can be in the moment and just live this second, this minute, this hour for a while with nothing outside distracting me and just enjoy that.
I'm like the alternate to anything stressful. You can listen to a podcast for cat lovers and talk about how cool your cat is and it's relaxing and it's not stressful. Thank you so much, Amy, for joining us today. I am so excited to share the information about your books and have more people find you and read you and appreciate and learn. Can you tell us kind of in brief where people could find you?
Oh, sure. They can do a search for my name on Amazon. All the books are there, or if they're at, you know, Barnes and Noble, a lot of those places. But if they want a discounted book, I have my own bookstore now, and they can go to that at it's shop.shojai.com, and I can send them discounted ebooks or audiobooks or print, and I've got print books, both hardcover and paperback. So that is an option as well. They can go to my website, shojai.com or shop.shojai.com and find out about all the different books.
I follow you on Goodreads. Tip.
All righty.
That's another way. All right. Well, I really appreciate your time. It's always so much fun to talk with someone else who is passionate about pets and how much they add to our lives. And of course, to our listeners that haven't checked out, please check out Amy's books. You won't regret it. Until next time, this is Nine Lives with Dr. Kat, and I want you all to go out and have a perfect day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.